Hello. We've attributed way too much power to the devil. That's a religious thing. When people do stuff wrong, they say, well, the devil made me do it. No, that was Flip Wilson. Geraldine. The devil made me do it. No, he doesn't. He tempts you. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, the Bible says in James. Fess up. So the devil is a thief. He wants to steal the word, so we need to be aware of his tactics, how he does it, why these things come, why it happens, how it happens. We need to know what he's doing in order to rise above it and to stop it. We talked about affliction is defined as pressure, trouble, anguish, and burdens. When pressure comes, what's that? That's affliction. When troubles come, what's that? That's affliction. When burdens come, what's that? That's affliction. And what is that designed? What is that designed to do? Anybody? It's designed to get you offended, into offense. That was what happened to Adam. He listened to the devil. He believed it, and he got offended with God. And what happened? He made a bad choice that was inalterable. He got into a trap from which there was no escape. And we talked about the word offense, and that word, that Greek word, forget what it is now, but it was used to be like that little stick that holds the trap together. And when the animal goes in after the bait, that stick is moved and boom, he's trapped. That's what offense does. Offense. Huh? Scandalon, that was it. It's where we get the word scandal. Offense. You know, you need to. We received healing in those pools, inner pools in our soul and our heart, that cause us to react. Receive God's sweetness. In fact, just say this, Father, give me the tree of sweetness.
Give me the tree of sweetness.
Sweetness the pools in my heart.
With the anointing of God.
I receive it.
I take it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what happens when you get offended? You get offended at someone for some reason, for some group of people or whatever, some group of someone's. And you get offended with them. And then on top of that, you get all the anguish and everything on top of that. You get into a place where you can't really get out of that easy. And somebody starts talking about them, and the second you hear about it, yeah, well, I'll tell you what they did. And you're right in there. You are getting out into a place where you're going to get trapped.
Right.
You don't want that. God's called you to freedom. God's called you to love. God's called you to liberty. We're bigger than that. Bigger than that. And then you wonder why your prayers don't get answered.
Right.
And then you get offended at God.
Yes.
Because he's not answering your prayers. And I put a demand on the word of God. Well, no, you're filled with offense. You let affliction do its work. You let persecution do its work and turn you again. And now you're filled with anger, anguish, bitterness, hatred towards somebody. And then you wonder why you're... When God was the one who's telling you this all the time so you wouldn't get offended.
Right.
Don't blame God. He's not your problem. He's your answer. You know, affliction is never, ever fun. But you know what is fun? When you're ready, when you're equipped for it, and you can see it coming from 1,000 miles away, and you recognize it for what it is. It has thief written all over it. And now you're ready. And now you're ready to rise above it so it doesn't offend you. They'll look ridiculous. They will look stupid. They will be shown to be what they are. But you will rise above it because you're walking in a higher law. You're walking in the law of love. And that puts you above all of that. Now God becomes responsible for the outcome because you're walking in love. Isn't that good? Because love can never fail. He said that. Isn't this rich? Isn't this good? Hello. Yes, I'm in. And sometimes, you know, we as Christians just make it so easy for the devil to come in and steal stuff, come in and get us offended, come in and start deflecting us to the cares of this world and say, I am so offended. I want you to, I'm offended. And I want you to know that anything you say will offend me because I'm offended. And you know what? If you knew what I was going through, you'd be offended too with me. We are, in fact, let's all get offended. I think we should just be offended. Think about it. Who wants to be around that mess? Nobody. There's a whole lot of people who will give you a whole lot of room when you start acting like that. And they'll leave you alone. And then what happens is you've lost fellowship with people. You're out of agreement with other people. You are isolated. And right where the devil wants you, and boom, he picks you off. Steal, kill, destroy. And if he can't get you with affliction and persecution, he'll get you with the cares of this life. Lusts of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. All those things work together to choke the word. So it becomes unfruitful. Do you know that you're the only one who can make the word unfruitful in your life?
That's good.
Say, well, the devil's attacking me this week, and I'm really under it. And then, what did you say?
Right.
Words. Yeah. Let me ask you this: are you speaking words that you want God to fulfill concerning you and other people and your situation? Or are you speaking the devil's words? Don't cooperate with it. Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The word of God is good. The spirit of God is good. The blessing of God is good. Faith is good. Blessing is good. Don't let them steal your joy. That's your strength. Don't let them steal your peace, because that's your wholeness. Walking in love is good. Hold fast to it. Cares of the world will make you ready to identify them, the power within us. When lust comes to conceive sin in our heart, and sin produces death, the Bible says, we'll be ready with the shield of faith to cast it down. Say, I didn't know who you are. I know you used to have me. But here, Jesus, get out of here. Don't even give me your hand. Just give me the back of your elbow. Say, come here. Now, he's given me power to trample on you, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of your power. I got the keys of the kingdom. You better get. I'll ruin your whole deal, hoss.
Come on.
Just shake the key ring. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Well, actually, now that we're in there, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority. That's right. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So we see in John chapter 10, verse 10. Oh, we're talking today about potential is power in motion. You know, Jesus said that in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He didn't say you will receive a theological mind. Did he? He didn't say you'll receive understanding. No, he said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, the thief, everybody say the thief. The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. if things are dead in your life, if they're missing, no longer there, if something has been destroyed in your life, it has thief written all over it. It didn't come from God. If you lost something, misplaced it, whatever, somehow it got out of your hand because you got afflicted, you got deflected over into the cares of this life, and you let go of something. The devil stole it. That's how he steals it. He doesn't just come right out and rob it. He gets into these other things so you'll look like a failure in your own eyes. That's what he wants to do, turn you against yourself. He said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is a defining scripture. Now, the Amplified Classic says this, I am come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Are you living an overflowing full life in abundance? That's what God's will is. This scripture is a defining scripture concerning the multitude of questions concerning God's will, his true nature, his the decisions we make, and the fellowship that we choose to engage in. Are these people speaking the word? Are they doing the word? Do they fellowship in the word? Or are they challenging it, questioning it, baiting others? Are they kicking up against the stone? Or have they let the stone break them? Have they let the rock of salvation permeate its aroma through their life? But if you're baiting and challenging and questioning all the time, you can't bait and question. You question the word of God, you're questioning God, because God is the word. The word is God. Amen. This is God's will, that we have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's God's will. Now, does God have favorites? Does he bless some and not others? Is he a respecter of persons? No. He doesn't have favorites. He doesn't play that mess. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And if you do the word, you will get the results that the word says you get. Right. You see, if you think God is a demanding, vengeful, destructive, and punishing God under the new covenant, you're right. Ooh. Let me just say that again. If you believe that God is a demanding, vengeful, destructive, and punishing God under the new covenant, you're right, because that's your vision. That's what you walk in. However, if you perceive God as a rewarder, a life-giving, restoring, merciful, loving, and forgiving God, you're right. Amen? Here's a new covenant. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Where does faith come from? Comes from hearing the word, God's word. If you want to look at God as a mad Victorian father, or you want to look at him as your loving father, either way, you're right. People say, well, I think it's God's will for me to be healed. You're right. And then other people say, well, God's teaching me something through this. Well, then you're right too. Be it done unto you according to your faith. And it will be done. You choose. Everything that is bad, everything that steals, kills, and destroys comes from the devil. Everything that is good and full and abundant comes from God. This is like the continental divide of the scripture that shows you who God is and what he does and who the devil is and what he does. Oh. You know, the truth really does that to you. It tells you where you are. And it tells you where you've got to go, where you've got to be. This also tells you that the devil is a bad devil, and he is, you know, when he gets his, I am not going to shed one tear. Right. He is irredeemable. You look at the pictures of Nazi Germany and the destruction of those people, you know who was behind that. The devil was behind all of that. He is unmerciful, irredeemable. He is a personality that is the ugliest, most prideful, arrogant, smug person that you'll ever meet. And when he gets his, boom, I'm glad. Heaven will rejoice. Amen. Amen. There's going to be, we'll have a party. Just to say, it's all gone. See, he comes after that word because he knows no word, no faith. If you have the word, you have faith. Faith moves mountains and calms the storms. What is that? Faith moves mountains and calms the sea. Faith brings healing and victory. No word, no faith, no faith, no please God. How's that? But if you know the word, you'll have faith, and you'll have the faith that pleases God. And you can walk in harmony with him. You can walk hearing his voice. He'll listen to you, open to you. Why? Because faith pleases God. Faith has an aroma that goes into heaven. Everything the devil does is to steal that word because he hates God. That's why he hates you, because you're in his image and likeness. And if he can hurt you, then he can hurt the heart of God, because God doesn't want to see us go through stuff. He doesn't want to see us hurt. When Adam sinned, who was he following, God or the devil? Yes. He was following the devil. Did God allow Adam's choice?
Yes.
Did God honor Adam's choice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When Adam sinned, we're going to get into some potential here in a minute, but when Adam sinned, it wasn't just an earth-shattering event where the floodgates of sin and death flooded into this world. It reached right into heaven itself. It says when Jesus poured his blood out on the mercy seat of heaven, it cleansed the patterns of worship in heaven, and even the vessels of worship in heaven were defiled by Adam's sin. This is a treason that should have never happened, because you and I were sold out under sin through Adam's choice. And it was a trap that no man could get out of except for one man, the God-man. And it cost him everything. And he gladly paid it because he loves you. Amen? See, here's the pattern of worship. There were vessels in heaven. And men were to come before God and offer the fruits of the earth to God as offerings to him in forms of worship, and fill those vessels with them. And then there were vessels that were sanctified unto God that he would fill with his blessing and pour it out on the earth in response to their worship. It was an all-encompassing communication of love, joy, and worship. All in perfect peace, all defiled by one choice, Adam's sin. And that's what it says in Hebrews 9 took place. Jesus poured it out and wiped out all the defilement, all the records of sin, all of that, all gone with the pure, precious blood of his sacrifice. It really broke the heart of God when Adam sinned. But God's response to heartbreak, God's response to loss, irretrievable, I mean, it was bad. What was his? His response to it was the same response that he told us to use. What is that? Forgive, if you have aught against any. Forgive. Forgive. Who is it that you haven't forgiven? Everybody here has somebody that it just keeps on coming up like a thorn, like a thorn. Might be your parents, might be an uncle, might be a brother or a sister, or might be somebody who you work with who said bad things about you. Take it before God and fill those utensils and take advantage of the mercy seat of heaven where the blood has already been poured out, and be cleansed of that. Be cleansed of it. If we don't forgive, we're violating God's way of doing things. This is the, he not only told us to do it, but he demonstrated it himself when he forgave, when he moved towards redemption, a plan that he had already designed. And he went to redemption instead of vengeance. Thank God he didn't condemn us to an eternal hell. And when Adam sinned, immediately he killed animals and clothed their nakedness, and he used that blood as an atonement for Adam's sin. But I still couldn't cleanse heaven's defilement. There's only one blood that could do that. He's coming. He's coming. And he's going to kick your head in. Then all the prophets started saying, prophets, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Isaiah saw him become sin on the cross. He saw him at the whipping post, taking your punishment for your disobedience so that you wouldn't have to suffer with disease from your own disobedience. This is the gospel, folks. Isaiah saw it. Micah said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. They all were in agreement. You know the power of agreement? You don't even have to be in the same place at the same time. You start agreeing with the prophets, agreeing with the word of God, agreeing with the things that God has said. I'm telling you, you start speaking that out of your mouth and you're going to find that you have turned into another man. A man who cannot be defeated. A man who cannot, he can lose but rise above it and get more. Because he has a God who's more than enough for everything. Are you getting anything out of this? He's coming. He's coming. They said, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The church is saying that too. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming, devil. He's coming, everybody. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. You want power, socialist? Oh, you don't know what power is. All you know is manipulation. That's lies, deceit. That's all you know. He is coming, he's coming, he's coming. And they said it, and they said it, and they said it. Enoch saw Jesus come into the earth. He saw him die. He saw him raised from the dead. He saw him ascend to the right hand of the Father. And he saw him coming back with 10,000s upon 10,000s of his saints in victory. He saw it. That's how he walked with God. And we have a covenant so much better than anybody, than the Noahic covenant or anything, or the Abrahamic covenant or the Mosaic covenant or the covenant of David. All of the covenants of the Old Testament have all been put together like this. Got a supercharger on them, boom, like that. And that's what we have. So much better than them. We can walk with God in joy because our heart is clean. We can go to sleep at night with our heart, because our heart is clean, in peace. We have his presence. We have his ability. We have everything as close as our next words. What are you doing with your potential? What are you doing with your words? What are you doing with it? Are you agreeing with the world? Or are you agreeing with God? Oh, yeah, well, I got caught up in something the other day. Yeah. Well, Lori and I had words the other day. I didn't get to use any of mine. But, but we didn't really have a problem. That was the devil just trying to get in there. And so then we said, no, we're ready for that. And we walk in peace. We walk in love. So it's better off that you just say nothing. It's like Jesus says, he's your defense attorney. He's your defense attorney. You're on the stands. And he says, just say this. Just say this. The blood is enough. The blood has been shed. It's done. It's a finished work. I rest my case. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. God lost Adam, and when he lost Adam, he lost the human race. He lost the futures of all those people, billions of people who will end up in hell. You tell me it wasn't a huge loss for him? He lost the earth. He didn't no longer had dominion in the earth. He gave that to Adam. He couldn't just come here anymore. Once he found out what went on, actually, he knew what was going on. But after he dealt with it, He had to deal with men through their faith. So he could only speak the word. He spoke the word through the prophets. That was a big loss. Potential is power in motion. You have so much potential inside of you that you can't, you can't count it. It's so great. The treasury that is in, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That word treasure is a bottomless treasure trove, an endless treasure trove that you cannot reach the bottom of, and if you did, it would just multiply under that. You have vast resources in your spirit, man, your recreated spirit. You have a treasure in there that you haven't even tapped into. You have potential in you that you haven't even tapped into. But somehow we're so caught up emotionally in this world. Our eyes are directed on this world, our future, and what we want and what we are trying to get and what we're trying to do. When all the time God is saying, walk with me and I will bless you. I will give you the power to get anything you need. So you'll have what you have when you have it, what you need when you have it. I don't know about you, but I like this. Let's go to, since the title of the message is Potential is Power in Motion, I will get to my message eventually, but I'm getting a lot of stuff here from the Holy Ghost who is really, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And while you're turning there, I'm going to just, one way of defining potential is dormant power. Dormant power. That means power that's, it's asleep. It needs to be woke up. We need to understand that power is in our words. We need to understand the power of our words. What they are designed to do in establishing God's blessing in our lives. And we need to understand how the devil tries to get us to speak the words of curses into our lives. We need to understand that. See, death and life, blessing and cursing, is in the power of your tongue. The power isn't in life or death. The power isn't in blessing or cursing. It's in the blessing. But it's no good to you unless you speak it. Because the power is in your tongue. That's where the power is. Latent or unrealized ability or capacity. Latent power is dormant power, dormant until a demand is placed on it. These are coming from the dictionary. Demand placed on it where it is influenced by an environment or connected with a complementary compatible power. Now look at verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14. That speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You see that? This word, Kenneth Hagin had a friend who was a Greek scholar. And they met many times, many occasions. I think he even taught at Rema for a little while, Bible college. But he said this, that if they had electricity back in this time, back when Paul wrote this, that this word edify could be used in the same way as recharging a battery. The word edify is where we get the word edifice from. You know what an edifice is? Like the pyramids? It is not moving. It is impenetrable. It is staunch. It is absolutely solid. That's an edifice. And when it says that we pray in an unknown tongue, we are edifying, we are building ourselves up. Let me do this. Show you something. Now, I learned this in science class. This is a flashlight. This was made to give light. It was created to give light. It has a lens. It has a light bulb. Everything in it is constructed to conduct power to that light bulb and light and shine light in the midst of darkness. But when I turn it on, Is it working?
No.
Oh. See, this needs to pray in tongues. This needs to be connected with a source that it was created to house. When you were born again, you were recreated, you turned into a new wineskin so that you can house the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when you now recharge that battery by praying in tongues, you can see beyond your own ability to see in the dark. You see that? Blinded by the light. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's made to shine in darkness. You were made to shine in darkness, but it won't do you any good unless you're first edified, built up, recharged, revitalized in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. He gave you, it's not going to happen automatically. You participate in this. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you yield your tongue to Him. And you start getting rejoicing and getting happy. And your joy is in the Lord is your strength and the peace that passes understanding and the love of God. It says this in Jude. It says, see, the Greek word for edify is oikodomao. But in Jude, it says building yourself up on your most holy faith. It's ep oikodomao. And that word ep means it's made for a specific, it's building on a specific thing. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And what is faith? Faith pleases God. Faith calms storms. Faith is a good thing. Hold fast that which is good. Faith is good. You know, before I put that battery in, there was absolutely nothing wrong with this flashlight, but it didn't work. It wasn't fulfilling its purpose. It had no ability to do it on its own. But when I put the battery in, when I started praying in tongues, oh, God. Now I can see beyond my natural ability to see. I can understand beyond my natural ability to understand. I can perceive. I can see what God sees. I can understand what God is telling me. I can walk in His wisdom. I have the mind of Christ. It kicks in. All of a sudden, things start connecting in here, and they start lining up to put that light bulb. Woo! Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That's rich. That's... Isn't He the Father of lights? You know, when you see your glorified body, you're going to be really amazed. Because it's almost like a transparency thing. It's light, pure light, the light that is in you right now. Your recreated spirit is who you are for the rest of eternity. Did you hear that? That's who you are for the rest of eternity. God can't improve on that. You are Model A. There's no Model B or new improved. Nothing. The only thing that improved was a covenant that we had because He knew what He was going to create us to be, and that covenant is strong enough to support that. You know, and people get the idea too. I want to get in my mind. People get the idea. They say, "You mean you can turn God on and off whenever you want to?" And I say, "No. He's always on. It's me I got to turn on. It's me I got to align with Him. He is not wrong. He's not out of line. Everything is perfect with Him. It's me I got to turn on. Yeah. I'm turning myself on. I'm filling my battery with power.
Yeah.
I'm getting hooked up, and everything is getting hooked up to produce what I have been created to produce. That's who I am. Potential. Potential. It might be dormant, but you start speaking what God speaks and you're going to find out what potential is. Next week, I'm going to get into the momentum that carries, but you got to understand something. You have so much potential so much dormant. In fact, I believe it's in Proverbs 13. And I have it in the New King James. Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 23, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. You know what in Jeremiah says, break up the fallow ground? Fallow ground is a couple of things, but in certain instances, in this case, fallow ground is that hard pan cement. It's caked, like you see dried riverbeds that are all caked up. That thing is hard as cement. It's this mud that has been dried and dried and dried. It's like adobe. It's hard, and it is awful. And Jeremiah said, break up the fallow ground of your heart. And you know, a fallow ground, you got the wind blowing through. You get plants, wheat, whatever that was dying, and those seeds get blown away, and they fall into those cracks, into those lifeless cracks of that mud. But just a little rain, and it starts growing up, and it starts growing. Much food is in the fallow ground of the. There's potential in you that you haven't even realized. There's hardness in you that you need to get the moisture and the living water of the Holy Spirit to reshape and to bring new life to those places in your heart that have been walked over. Looked over dead, and wake them up. Some people are so out of balance because bad habits, this, that, and the other thing is over here. It's trying to rise to the top and take advantage of that. When all the time you have the power to pray in the Holy Spirit, declare who you are in Christ, what you have, all you can do, where you have been seated, that you rule and reign in life, not the devil, not other ideas, not this picture or this image or whatever. Those don't reign over me. What reigns over me is the Word of God, and I receive the life that's in that Word of God planted in my spirit. Now, Holy Ghost, take over. Take over. Fill me with the waters of heaven. Make me soft and pliable. Make me that so that I can reflect your glory and be all you want me to be. Is that what you want today?
Yes.
Is that what you're living for today? You got to resign yourself to this because that's when it'll kick in. That's when it'll work. Hallelujah. Dormant power. Latent power. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you.